Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Our speaker is the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James. Our reading is taken from Luke 24, beginning at verse 13, and the talk is entitled The Road to Emmaus. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
I'm reading from from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13, on the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. They had talked and discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know all these things that have happened in these past days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of the Lord.
Just start with praying as we ask, "Come, Holy Spirit, open our eyes that we may see the reality of Jesus in our journeys of life. Amen." So good to see you this morning. I've come prepared with my walking shoes that I will be using very soon in just over a couple of weeks. There. So on the 28th, I'm going to fly to France. I'm going to land in Biarritz, which is just outside Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. This is in good French. I haven't used my French for some time, so I need to read that again, which is the start of what is called the French Way of the Camino de Santiago. So it's a pilgrimage. It's a kind of a walk that thousands of people are doing throughout the years, and the French Way is one of the most popular. It's the red one that you can see, And then there's different other routes. You can even start in Portugal or somewhere in Spain. So I choose this one because I'm going through the Pyrenees first, and so nice mountains. And I'm very tempted to do part of it and then to jump to one that is called the Camino Primitivo. If you see on the left side, there is a blue little line there starting at Oviedo. And again, it's more mountains and lush kind of forest and things like that. So the French way, if you get past the one third, it becomes very flat. And so I don't know. I will see. Pray for me, because part of a pilgrimage is also actually doing the flat and the boring side, because that's part of life too, you know, the routine, the reality. But walking that Camino, it's most days going to be about 20, 25, sometimes a bit more. And actually, it's possibly the distance those two disciples walked. Before I move to them, this is the exciting bit for me. I'm going to have a passport with all those stamps. You know, every time I've landed in a certain place, they're going to put a stamp. And if you do 100 kilometers, you're entitled to your certificate there. You know, you're going to be a certificate. You look at me, officially a pilgrim. So I should hopefully be doing about 400 or 500 kilometers. So there we go. I should definitely, I could have 5 certificates. No, not one, just one. And this is how it would look. It's quite easy. Everything is marked. So you follow the yellow arrow and this little shell. And there is a kind of nice connection. First, it's called the St. James Walk. That's a great connection with our church. But also our St. James Church School has that seashell at the heart of kind of their vision. It's quite interesting. So walking. Today, it's all about walking in our reading. Two friends walking and talking with each other about everything that had happened. And they're walking like James says. They try to process grief, confusion, disappointment, and even a strange report from a woman that was later confirmed that the tomb was empty and the body was missing. And often we go for a walk for similar reason, maybe not that kind of, in a dark time, although sometimes we go with really a lot on our mind, but usually we go for a walk to clear our mind. How many of you do walks just to clear your mind? Or to step outside because you've just been so cooked up, you know, inside your four walls of your apartment or the house, or sometimes just inside our routines, inside our thoughts that can feel circular or heavy. And on a walk, something often happens, kind of what we end with is a bit lighter than what we start with. Maybe a solution starts to form in your mind if you had an issue that you were walking with. Maybe a burden is losing its grip. Questions maybe becomes less trapped. Walks can be places of inspiration and creativity. A well-known theologian of the past, Augustine of Hippo, says, it is solved by walking. It is solved by walking. Sometimes you get resolutions through a good walk. And of course, walking alone has its benefits, but walking with someone else adds a whole new dimension, a depth of discovery. Having a conversation side by side is quite different than when you sit with someone or stand with someone face to face. Often walking with removes maybe some of the pressures, lowers our confrontation if it's a difficult conversation we are having. We are shoulder to shoulder, not face to face. Words often flow more freely. Silence are more comfortable. Maybe there's more space to reflect, to think about what we've just heard from a companion. And this is, in a sense, what maybe I'm looking most forward in this upcoming pilgrimage in Spain. Yes, I'm looking for the physical kind of challenge. That's why I hope to go through quite challenging routes. Yes, I'm looking for maybe having time to reflect in my own space and time, but I'm really looking forward to the people I'm going to walk alongside, the people I'm going to meet along the way, and the impact they will have on me with their reflections and their conversation, and maybe the impact I might have on them. And this is part of that story. They're walking two by two, they're going back to the events that just happened when a third come alongside. Jesus himself come up and walk along with them. They don't recognize him, but he asks a simple question. What are you discussing together as you are walking along? And it's not a question for information. It's a question that is an invitation to open up. And is that not what Jesus wants to do with us, that we open ourselves up to him, that we start being real with him, telling at times the joys, but also telling him the difficulties, the challenges we're facing? When he asked the question, they were real. They stood still, their faces downcast. And then they spoke honestly. They said, "Have you not heard? Are you the only one? Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. And he was handed over, crucified. But we had hoped." And that's the sentence that carries all the weight of their journey, the grief, the disappointment, the shattered expectation. We had hoped he was the one. We had hoped he was our rescuer, the one we were waiting for. Yes, some woman said the tomb was empty, that they had an encounter with angels, and others confirmed that's true, Jesus' body is gone. But they were still in that grief. They had hope, doubts, uncertainties, confusion. And it matters. What they were doing with Jesus mattered to Jesus. They voiced it. They didn't pretend. They didn't hide it. They didn't sanitize their pain. They spoke it out on that road. I want to encourage you to speak out to Jesus. Often faith or growth or change begins with honesty in the presence of God. Something deeply important to voice what we are carrying, to name what we feel, to express our disappointment, our confusion, our grief, even our anger. Just turn to Psalms and you will see how David, walking with God, was able to express, to speak, "I had hoped." Because unspoken pain, if they're not put outside, tends to harden. And the danger is that they move then to a different place. We move more into resentment and bitterness. But spoken pain becomes the place where God can enter into our lives. And I think in this passage, it's quite clear that Jesus enters in two ways. He enters with grace, but also with truth. He enters with words that sometimes are uncomfortable, but we need to hear. And so truth here is, how foolish you are. How slow to believe all that had been written about the rescuer, the Messiah. How he had to suffer those things and enter into glory. How he had to go through those events to really free you, not from the Romans, not physically freedom, but a much deeper freedom from guilt and shame and sin and death. In other words, you've walked with scriptures. I mean, there were Jews, and yet you haven't seen what it was pointing to. That was the truth. Uncomfortable. How foolish. But then comes the grace. And Jesus takes the time, beginning with Moses and all the rest of Scripture, he explained to them what was said concerning himself. He takes the time to unpack. He doesn't introduce anything new. He just revealed what has always been there and used that to shine light on what had just happened in the last few days. They needed to hear that they were slow to believe, that they hadn't let what they knew, what they had seen, what they had learned truly sink in, that they were slow to allow that to shape their understanding of God, his character, his plans, his intention, and their proper response. How often are we in that position? Slow to hear. Slow to hear what God is trying to tell to his church. Slow to change. To have that transformation, we need to go back to Scripture, to nourish ourselves, to be filled by them. And when we do, something that happened to the disciples happened to us. It says there, were not our hearts and mind burning? Jesus wants to nourish our hearts and mind. He doesn't want just to inform us. He wants to transform us, to reshape us, to redirect us, to reform us. You see, walking with Jesus will change you. So what's the word for you, for me today? I think one of the words is that there is no deep journey with Jesus without a rhythm of receiving his word daily. He said, quoting Scripture, when he was tempted, we will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So while physical food, like bread, sustain our body each day, and we need to do that every day, spiritual nourishment comes from God's word. And it must likewise be consumed daily. Someone once says, the Bible is not only to inform your mind, it's to transform your life. A Christian without Scripture is like a soldier without a weapon, a traveler without a map, a pilgrim, there we go, I had to have an allusion again to my pilgrimage, a pilgrim without a guide. A Christian without Scripture is like a soldier without a weapon, a traveler without a map, a pilgrim without a guide. Prayer and Scripture are not additions to our Christian journey. They are the way we learn to recognize that Jesus is walking with us, instructing, guiding, challenging, strengthening, empowering. There is nothing more urgent, nothing more essential for you and for me, nothing more central, nothing more worth of your time and your energy than to build that daily rhythm of reading and learning the Bible and praying and listening to God. Because without it, you will be walking through life, but you won't be transformed by the one who's walking with you. Find something that sticks with you, and that will be different for each and everyone. You know that at the back, some of you already have make use of the Bible app and the Chosen, those two ways. If you're good at reading and you like, you do a Bible app, you can read, you can listen to the Bible, or you can see a series and you can see reenacted through the Chosen. So if you haven't, the cards are at the back on your way out. But also, you might want to hear about Jesus. Maybe you don't even have a Bible at home, or you have one, you don't know where it is, or it's too big. This is just one way, the story of Jesus told by Mark. So you can take it. It's free for you to take at the end of this service. Start somewhere, and if you're already somewhere, ensure you do that and grow that daily. Like bread, that ensure that you're physically healthy, you need to ensure that you are spiritually healthy. So Scripture, prayer, and in this passage, We hear of a third place where we meet truly Jesus, and that's the breaking of bread. At the end of the story, we hear that they were at the table, and then Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. On Sunday, we do take time to read scripture, to unpack. We take time to pray, to praise. We also have time to come to the table. And at communion, we remember who Jesus is, what he has done for us, but also, very importantly, who we are in him and what we are called to be to the world. We remind ourselves that we are forgiven once for all. There is no more condemnation for those in Christ. We adopt it. We become member of his family. We nourish by the word, but also, very importantly, we are sent out. Because that's the story of the disciples on that road to Emmaus too. He disappears from their sight, and then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" Hopefully that happens in church more often than not. That your hearts somehow are burning, that you're encouraged, that you're strengthened. But you are so that you can be sent out into the week to be his witness. That's the story. They got up, they returned at once to Jerusalem, they found 11, and they shouted, "It's true! The Lord has risen." Note, the same road, but now a completely different direction. Is that not a picture of conversion, or a picture of turning around, of realizing something and doing something about it that sends you in a different way, a way of life? They have heard, they have seen, they're alive again, and they immediately respond. I wonder where you might be on the road this morning. Are you on a road towards Emmaus with disappointment, distractions, feeling distant from Jesus, although he is there? Maybe you're numbing pain in all kind of ways, carrying bitterness, you're tired. Maybe you're just on autopilot, or anxious, or worry, and there is a lot of that around in our world. Are you returning maybe back to Jerusalem, rejoicing? You know God has done something in your life and you want to share it with others. Maybe you're a little bit in the middle. Areas of our lives feels like more like Emmaus, and other areas maybe feels more like going back to Jerusalem and ready to share the good news, something God has done in my life that I want to share with others. The truth is, Jesus is always present. He was present when they were walking to Emmaus, but even when he disappeared, he was present with them in spirit. He's present here today. He's talking to you. He calls you. He invites you. Maybe he challenges you. He speaks to you. I wonder, what is he saying? What has he been showing you maybe for the last week, the last month, maybe the last years? The risen Christ is alive. He is the living Lord and the living Word. He has not stopped walking in our world, and he walks in your world. He's still near, he's still present, still speaking, still calling, still seeking to open your eyes, still breathing in new life. He sees you and he knows you, and he calls you back to life. Not a shallow life of distractions. And the world is very good at doing that. It will send you all kind of remedies just to numb the pain, but it doesn't bring life. He wants a life that is awakened, that is grounded in him, that's energized. A life where your mind is renewed, your heart is warmed up. A life where scripture nourishes you daily and prayer steadies you. A life with steady purpose and a soul that finally breathes a little more and learn to praise him a little more. And so today you and I, again, I think, are invited and challenged into something greater, into the resurrection life. So let us, as individuals, let us, as a church, not settle for the shadows. Let us not remain in spiritual sleep. Let us hear fresh Jesus' invitation today. For some, it's a wake-up call. Wake up. For others, walk with me again. Learn from me. Share my life. Live in my strength. Carry my presence to others. Because Jesus, this morning, is not only risen, he is reigning. He is alive in glory. And he is working out his purposes in your life and in this world. I'm going to invite you just to a moment of quietness. I'll ask the Holy Spirit to come, to refresh, to restore, to renew, to speak to you personally. And can I ask those who are going to lead us into that song to come? After I finish, we will sing a very quiet song. You might want to sing it. You might want just to be in that space listening. It says, "Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus." So come, Holy Spirit. Renew, refresh, restore, revive. May the living reality of Jesus, risen and reigning, transform us daily into courageous and faithful witnesses and workers of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.